Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In connection with yesterday's intro, it, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, Thou hast been my help. This morning I would like to introduce you to two men. Both of them have a story to tell us. Both of them come to us out of the world's greatest literature. One of them from a book, a Nobel Prize-winning book, the other from not just great literature, but also the inspired record of our blessed Lord himself in one of the Gospels. First of all, meet Jean-Baptiste Clemence. He's a shocker because he is so frank and candid in what he tells us about himself, and secondly, because we see so much of ourselves in him. Jean-Baptiste is the person who talks his way, who confesses his way through Albert Camus' novel, The Fall. I will let him tell his story in his own words. Notice three things as he speaks. First of all, he was a man of success, power, dignity, position. A few years ago, he says, I was a lawyer in Paris, a rather well-known lawyer, and nature favored me as to my physique. I had a specialty, noble cases. Widows and orphans, or at times I would take the hopeless case of some criminal. I even had the luck of seeing the Legion of Honor offered to me two or three times and experienced the privilege of turning it down. But Jean-Baptiste had dreams of being someone within himself, as well as before the world. I had dreamed, he said, of being a complete man who dreamt of making himself respected in his person as well as in his profession. And yet in Jean-Baptiste's dream and endeavor to be this perfect great man, he was forever bound in by a dominating self-love. And this is the second point. He could not love another person. He could only see himself using them. He spoke of keeping them in the refrigerator so he could bring people out when he wanted to. I am not hard-hearted, he said, full of pity on the contrary and with a ready tear to boot. It is only that my emotional impulses always turn towards me. My feelings of pity always concern me. It is not true, after all, to say that I have never loved. I conceived of at least one great love in my life, of which I was always the object. He goes on, sensuality alone dominated my love life. I looked merely for objects of pleasure and conquest. Let's sit down on this bench out of the rain. What I have to tell you is a bit more difficult. This time it concerns a woman. To begin with, you must know that I succeeded with women. I don't say succeed in making them happy or even in making myself happy. No, simply succeeded. And yet in his quest to find himself through pleasure, meaning and purpose in life forever evaded this person. His life was nothing but a series of empty memories and regrets. He could not find relationship with people. And yet, in spite of all of this inadequacy, and this is now the contemporary man's problem as it has been man's problem forever, his pride closed the door on any consideration of help from outside himself. So low had he fallen in his insensitivity that the idea of a redemption was inconceivable. He had thought he, the great hero, should some person throw themselves off the bridge into lust, then he would run back and he would save this person. But a young woman had done that, and he had walked right on. And so he mused back at the end of the book, Ah, young woman, throw yourself into the water again, that I may have a chance of both saving you and of saving myself. But the water would be so cold. Brr. Besides, it is too late. It will always be too late. Fortunately. Forgiveness was no longer even a consideration for this man. And as you and I listen to him, we hope in vain. At one time, at the death of a friend, he commented, Have you noticed that death alone awakens your feelings? And thirdly, for Jean-Baptiste, there was no turning back from his resignation to despair. Only one noble thought in his life came out when at the end of his confessions he opined, I choose the features we have in common, the experiences which we have endured together, the failings we share, And when the portrait is finished, I show it with great sorrow. This, alas, is what I am. But at the same time, the portrait becomes a mirror. Then imperceptibly, I pass from I to we. This is what we are. And it is well that in many respects we see ourselves also mirrored in this confession. And yet what a tragedy if, like Jean Baptiste, we are satisfied to live a life at so low and so meaningless a level. We were created by God. And only in him can we find real purpose and direction in life. From out of our despair as a hopeful schoolteacher should come the realization that we are inadequate and we must search for help from God. Otherwise, we continue to fall. As Camus himself says through his character here, I am eager to block the door of the closed little universe of which I am king, pope, and judge. And so now meet a second man. This man also comes to us and tells his story. It's the story of the prodigal son out of one of our blessed Lord's parables in the Gospel of Luke. We don't know his name. We get just a running account of his life. You know the story. We can summarize it in the one outline which a pastor used to preach on the story. Badness, sadness, and gladness. He caviled, he traveled, and he reveled. He went to the dogs, he lost his togs, and he ate with the hogs. He received the seal, he ate the meal, and he danced the reel. You know the story. What does it say to us? Chapter 1. This man also had position, dignity, freedom. But he misused his freedom in cutting himself off from the family circle and going into the far country. Chapter number 2. He sought to find meaning in pleasure and in himself. And yet he was thoroughly disappointed. His only end was despair, or it would have been, had he not, as Luke says, come to himself. He awakened to the realization that he could not find meaning only in his own heart and life, that he was inadequate until he had the courage to say and act upon his self-perception, Pater Peccavi, I have sinned. I have played the fool. And so, chapter 3. He returned to his father's fellowship, and he was not disappointed. In his father's love, he found far more than he had ever imagined. Acceptance, a relationship restored, once again a member of the family. As the father said, we had to celebrate and show our joy, for this is your brother. I thought he was dead, and he's alive. I thought he was lost, and he is found. Now, what was the difference in these two men? Wasn't it the way in which they responded to the discovery that they were inadequate to live a life of meaning and value simply in themselves? Jean Baptiste wouldn't go outside himself for help. He was guilty of the sin of which Luther calls curvatus in se, like a scorpion, curved and curled in on himself. But the prodigal son, this young man, sensed that life was meant for much more, and he went to the one who could help him. And note this well, he was not disappointed. It is precisely this wonderful truth which we receive from our loving God through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, professional church workers, we call ourselves, we maybe have to say that the parable of the prodigal son doesn't mean as much for our lives as it does for the weak, stumbling sheep under our care. But it is precisely at this point that the Achilles heel of pride might move us to take the first step to become a Jean Baptiste ourselves. Even though we are redeemed children of God, we are simul justus et peccator. The demonic is still within us. The old Adam is still there. But if we, like the prodigal son, are willing to admit our inadequacy, that we indeed daily sin much and deserve nothing but punishment, then God can help us. Indeed, we are not worthy to be accepted by God. But God the Father, in his great love, has sent his only Son into the world. Jesus Christ died for our sins. As the scripture says, the death he died to sin once for all. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And so every day, in so many little ways, we face the choice of either being a Jean Baptiste or a reformed prodigal son. Our blessed Lord does give us the power to love and to forgive others around us, even when they, like ourselves, are so unlovable. You and I can step from meaninglessness and guilt and purposelessness in many of the tasks and exigencies of our ministry into a life of fellowship and peace and confidence and joy during this springtime of the church. For our Lord does not expect us to do that which we are unable to do, but His redemption, His pardon, and His forgiveness will remake us and receive us just as we are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We rise to say the litany for students.